Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Glad to have you with us on a very special day here at the radio station. This is the day of our fall fun drive, and we do have a lot of fun during our fun drive here at the radio station. And if you can, please call in and give a pledge to us at 816-931-5534. We'll have guests coming up in just a few minutes. Beth Pike is with us. She...
I just had to join you.
That's
I had
right.
to come
you couldn't
here.
Resist yourself.
I couldn't.
Plus, she has a great voice.
Oh, well, thank
she
you.
She really does. She has a great voice. And she knows a lot about pitching.
And the pitching and
all
so
about
forth.
That.
Well, the pledge line actually is 888-931-0901.
Really? It's not the number that's posted
on the wall. Yeah, they could call
here.
They could call in the studio if you've got time to answer.
Oh, okay.
But it's actually the 888-931-0901. Or, you know, with modern technology, Michael, you can go online.
We can.
Yeah, kkfi.org. You can stream the broadcast there, too, if you want to hear the broadcast. You can stream it, you know. Technology here today can allow us to stream it and also allow you to go online and make your donation.
And if you're listening to the podcast in a few days, you could still call.
That's right.
And just say you heard this on the Arts Magazine Show.
And it'll get credited to your show.
It'll all get worked out just fine. You know, we're here to make a case for you. You know, how important this radio station is to a lot of people, including you, the listeners. It's the kind of things you don't hear normally.
Right. And we know that you, the listener, are engaged in that. That's why you're here and you're the listener. And we've got some special gifts, too, that we're giving out this time. We've kind of changed things up. We've had, you know, every other pledge drive, we've always got the T-shirts and the guest DJ. But this year, what we did for $90 or more, you can pick up a pair of tickets to a couple different shows. We have the show going on at Knuckleheads. Both of them are at Knuckleheads. The KKFI Hoedown.
Ah.
Yeah.
What's better than a hoedown?
What, exactly. Coming up here in fall, and it's on October 17th. There'll be about, oh, I think 10 artists, including Casey Roush, also Rivertown, and the Starhaven Rounders. Just to name a few.
Yeah.
So for $90, you get a pair of tickets for that. Or we also have the $90 level. We'll pick up a pair of tickets to the Macabre KC Halloween night.
Oh, yeah. It's very mysterious and very scary, they tell me.
At Knuckleheads.
I never get scared. I don't know. I never do.
I enjoy the haunted houses. So, and what they're going to do, I think, is pretty cool. Besides having my brothers and sisters and Jessica Page and Calvin Arsenia and all these other great artists from Kansas City, they're also going to have some scenes that are from different famous horror movies and adventure films. And there's a 20-piece orchestra that's going to back that up.
Well, that sounds really cool.
Well, and especially when the orchestra is going to be in full costume. So orchestra and the attendees, full costume. It should be a blast.
Oh, you people want to get in on that. We know you do. If you call, make sure we have the right number this
yes.
time, 888-931-0901. That is the number to call. And as Beth said, online at kkfi.org to make your pledge to support community radio, to support this program, and all of our efforts, too, which we happily do for absolutely no pay whatsoever. But we're
just
pleased
your support.
To do it.
Yeah,
your support is all we really need.
That
to do this. Yeah,
and we do have a couple other. I mean, our standards have the T-shirt for $90 mm-hmm. or the guest DJ.
I've had a lot of people do guest DJ. So if you're thinking about that and you're out there, how much do they need to pledge, Beth, to get a guest disc jockey spot?
A guest DJ is just $150.
That's all?
That is it.
You can be a star on your own radio show for an hour for $150. Plus, you probably get the T-shirt as well.
If you do the $200, you can get the T-shirt and the guest DJ, or you can do the guest DJ and the pair of tickets.
You can't make a better deal than that.
No.
I think we have made the case.
I think so. 888-931-0901 or go online at kkfi.org.
Not only do you receive some, you know, special incentive presence, so to speak. You also get to support KKFI, this radio show, and all the wonderful people who plan their own shows, produce their own shows, and usually perform on their own shows. That keeps this station going. I guess there's 168 hours of programming every week that is filled up. And Beth has a program. When is your program on?
Thursday mornings. Thursday from 6 until 8 a.m.
Are you planning something special for your show?
I've got some people who are joining me in the studio to help do some pitching, and we're just going to have a lot of fun.
Okay.
We're going to have a lot of fun and be some local music. And again, you know, but right now we're working on your show.
We sure are. So please call 888-931-0901. We'd love to take your pledge. We have, well, Jeff is in there. Who else is in there? I can't see very well.
Jeff is in there. I think Michael is in there, and well, and then Mike Murphy is in there as well too.
And Beth will surely be in there.
I'll be
as
dashing
well.
Back in to answer that phone.
Okay, we'll see you at the bottom of the hour.
Excellent.
Once again.
Thank you, and we'll
continue.
All right,
talking
thanks.
About KKFI. Thank you very much, Beth, for coming in. We have guests on the show today. Very important guests, by the way. I always go to the top with the guests that I ask for, and surely enough, they send me important people over to this show. The Kansas City Ballet is with us. They're going to talk about their new show of the season, The Three Musketeers. And with us, the artistic director of the Kansas City Ballet, Devin Carney. He was born in the musical city of New Orleans. Was with the New Orleans Ballet, the Boston Ballet in several different capacities, danced in many outstanding roles. We talked about that the last time he was on, some of the important roles that he did. He was the Boston Ballet Master, the artistic director of the Cincinnati Ballet, and many other as well. And he's with us today. Welcome, Devin.
Thank you.
And Jeff Maidan is with us today. Am I close?
Close.
Gilles.
Yes.
Okay. Like I'm drawing out the L and the L. Gilles.
Yeah.
He is the stager for the Three Musketeers. Boy, he has taught at the Louisville Ballet, in Pittsburgh, Santiago, at BYU, Utah, performed in Opera de Paris, the Ballet Santiago, the Odyssey, the Utah, BYU, Toulouse, France, and of course, choreography for, oh, big time now, Super Bowls 41 and 49. Yeah. Did I get my Roman numerals right? At the Asian Games, at the Athens Summer Olympics, at the Salt Lake City Winter Olympics, and I had to check with him before we went on the air, was in the movie Les Miserables back in 1972 when he was a very young man.
Yep.
Glad to have you with us
as well.
The Three Musketeers. There's a great article, an interview with Devin in the newspaper yesterday, and I had a lot of fun. I learned a lot of things from it. At one point, you talked about the term flinning,
yes.
And you were talking about the sword play in the show. Just for the people who have not yet read, they're all rushing to the paper right now,
of course.
But who have not read that, explain flinning.
Sure. Well, like you said, flinning is a sword fighting technique. It's a nickname for a type of sword fighting that was pretty much coined by a certain actor named Errol Flynn.
Oh, yeah. He's a swashbuckler.
That's right. And if you remember, in a lot of his movies, he'd go up and down stairs, or he'd be sliding along a railway, or you know, avoiding all sorts of furniture while they're sword fighting. And it was a sort of a standard sort of way of fighting where you put both swords up and you alternately hit the sides of each other's swords, and you can do it really fast and you can go all over the place, and it has a very low danger level. It was used by Errol Flynn quite a lot in all of his movies.
Oh yeah, and, Gilles, is that part of what you do as the stager, is to get people prepared for these sword fights?
Yes, indeed. I teach them. We try to teach them the way to do it, because it's all choreographed and it's all musical, so it has to be very precise. Mm-hmm. And it could be dangerous if you're not paying attention. So they do have to learn very, very carefully everything, every step, every movement, every hit of the sword. And but you know, slowly they get it, and then we go faster and faster every time. So when you get to showtime, then it's, you know, the real speed and and fun and working and looking good. And so it's fun. It's
great. They're doing all of this, folks, while dancing and doing ballet. Hard enough just if you were an actor doing a scene like that. Yeah. Dancing as well.
Yeah, indeed.
It really is. The gist I got is that you always wanted to do this show.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, a show that features the men of our company is something I was very excited about, having the opportunity to present here for Kansas City audiences. And, you know, it's a ballet. It's been around for a while, not seriously long, 35 years since it was choreographed for Australia Ballet by Andrei Pekovsky in 1980, and has a history of, you know, performing in quite a lot of places around the world since then. So as a dancer, you know, I was starting my professional career around 1980 as an artist, a performing artist.
He's so young.
You know, I heard about the ballet and always thought, oh, that'd be so fun to do. So it's kind of full circle to bring it here now, finally, and be able to feature the men of our company. We have great men in our company, and they're very athletic individuals who are quite artistic and quite powerful. You know, and when you bring a ballet in that has great dancing in it, the men dance like crazy in the show, plus sword fighting, you know, it's like a no-brainer, you know, to have all that one show. It's like pack it all into one event.
Oh, yeah. Lots of testosterone in the show.
Tons of it, yes. It is definitely flowing.
Well, it sounds like so much fun. You all remember the big quote from the Three Musketeers, all for one and one for all.
That's right.
So it's important to stick together, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, see, being one of the King's Musketeers was a very prestigious thing. This is something that that most men wanted to do.
Indeed, yeah. Definitely, that's at least what D'Artagnan wanted to do. And so that's why he goes to Paris to try to join the Musketeers.
Yeah.
So that's the beginning of the story.
That's right.
Oh, sure, yeah. They say Three Musketeers. Actually, I always thought of it as four of them.
Well, they become four, but it starts as three. You know, you have Athos, Porthos, and Aramis.
So there were things. I mean, I guess the cardinal was the bad person in the show.
Richelieu, Richelieu, he's kind of the bad guy. Yeah.
Is this trying to take power from the crown? Is this
always? You know, you always had that power from the church and with the crown or with the king. So they always had an alliance, and yet. Not always working.
Oh, sure. A lot of disagreements there between the church and the crown and whatever government entity. And, you know, animosities like that continue on to the present day in some places. So it's really a show that is in touch all the way around. We're speaking with Devin Carney, the artistic director, and Gilles Maidon, the stager for the Kansas City Ballet production of The Three Musketeers. It opens this Friday night, October 9th, at 7:30 p.m. Performances continue then on Saturday the 10th at 7:30 p.m. An afternoon matinee on Sunday the 11th at 2:00 p.m. Then they'll do it all over again the next weekend, Friday the 16th, Saturday night the 17th, and another matinee on Sunday afternoon at 2:00 p.m. at the Kauffman Center, the Muriel Kauffman side of the Kauffman Center. And you can call 816-931-8993 for more information, or go online at kcballet.org. We're speaking with the gentleman. Such a well-known show. You know, people probably have very high expectations. Yeah. I imagine the competition with the dancers is probably very high as well.
You mean in terms of the actual roles they're getting to do?
Sure. Not necessarily competing for the roles, but they know a lot is going to be expected by the audience.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's what you always want to try and find as artistic director. I'm always trying to find works that are going to move our artists, our dancers, forward in their maturity of their craft. And this work is definitely pushes them, because of there's just so much dancing in there. And not only, Michael, do they have to dance, you know, but they also have to be actors and actresses. And that's something that makes you as a dancer mature, because you want to become much more three-dimensional and much more interesting to watch from an audience point of view. So, you know, it can't just be dancing. It has to be something beyond that. And that's what a work like this really draws, that kind of depth of artistry out of dancers. And that's what my goal is to help my dancers be the best they can be, because if that happens, then our audiences are going to have the best show that they can enjoy watching.
You know, what kind of paces, Jill, do you have them go through as they get ready? I mean, at a certain point, they have to get into the costumes, and that's a whole other thing.
Eventually.
As an actor myself, I can speak to the fact that once you put that costume on, you feel the part. There's just something that changes there.
Definitely.
And I imagine that's the same with the gentlemen and the ladies in the show.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And they learn the steps. And so, like an actor would learn the words, and then they make it, you know, they work and make it perfect, and then eventually get into the costume, and that changes a few things. Often the lifts are sometimes different, as the costume could get in the way of what they were used to do, you know, before without the costume. So sometimes it's a little different. And so we try to have costumes as much as possible and then go on stage. And we do that tomorrow. And then we'll have a couple of rehearsals on stage with the lighting, with everything, with the orchestra, with all of it. So then the whole show would come together. And I think at that point, by Thursday, it's going to be complete in a way, mm-hmm. and I think they're gonna really enjoy that, and I think they'll find more and more the acting part of it, and it's already good, but it's gonna be even better, I think, on stage when you find your space and you all that. Yeah. So, and you can project some more than in a studio, because you know it's the people are further than when you are in a studio. So I think it's going to be fun. It's a fun ballet anyways.
Oh, yeah.
And it is very technical. It is very difficult. The big pas de deux and so the pas de deux between the king and the Buckingham and the queen, and then you have Constance and D'Artagnan's pas de deux and all that, and Milady and all. So it's very demanding.
I'll bet so.
But fun, I think. I hope mm-hmm. They start having more fun doing it now. So, you know,
the work comes first.
Yeah, because they don't have to think as much about the technique and the steps.
So. Oh, sure. Well, it's always better if it comes naturally, I guess. And mm-hmm. It probably does at some point. Yeah. We mentioned Mr. Errol Flynn earlier. Yeah. In his movies, they would they would sometimes glide across the stage on a chandelier and drop into the
right.
Does the staging allow for that at the Kauffman Center?
We don't have flying like this.
No swinging chandeliers.
No swinging chandeliers. Okay. No.
We're just hoping.
It'd be fun.
Great idea. Thank you, Michael. We'll add that.
It'd be fun, but not in that production. No, I let the people see by themselves what's happening. But we have some fun happening on with the show, and so you'll see.
I'll bet so.
Yeah, you'll see.
Yeah, I have to ask about those costumes. Do you want to credit whoever designed those costumes? They must be period.
Peter Farmer was the designer for the whole show, basically, and the costumes at the time. And Andrei Prokofsky was the creator of the whole show with the choreography and the idea and all that. And Guy Wolfenden is the person who created the music for it. So basically, they decided between Andrei Prokofsky and him to use music of Verdi, Giuseppe Verdi, and they pick and choose things, pieces that were not that known from Verdi, and so it was a research thing happening really long for quite a while before they got everything they wanted. And then Guy Wolfen then created some music around that. And so basically that's how it all came
it's
to life.
Score.
It's a beautiful score, yeah.
Yeah. Could I ask about some of the performers in the show? It's your regular company, I know.
Right.
Who are the three, or actually four, gentlemen in question?
Well, we have Fu, we have...
Fu, right,
yeah,
as D'Artagnan.
As D'Artagnan, we have Charlie, we have...
Michael Davis.
Michael and
Travis
as well, but also we have the Queen and you know all the people that create that, you know, with Between Milady and with Danny and all. We have, you
there's
know,
a tremendous amount of roles.
Molly.
All of the folks you know.
On your press release, it looked like there was quite a few people.
And there's a lot of great roles. I mean, there's like five leading roles for the men and three leading roles for the women. So you kind of get a really great adventure because of all these different characters that you grow to know over the course of the evening of the performance, which is really quite exciting, and it's an adventure, of course. It was
prestigious to be a musketeer. Was that like the Queen's head guards?
Right.
The king, actually.
The king,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, it had to, I guess there was a lot of... Is that something every young boy in France grew up wanted to be part of the musketeers?
I would think so at the time, you know. It was... probably what was the most prestigious thing to do. So, you know, as a young man, or you could join the Cardinal's Guards.
Oh, no, that would be the enemy.
Right. It's kind of like a modern day Secret Service. Think of it that way for us in America.
Yeah.
That's what the musketeers were to the king.
I was trying to give the people a sense of what year are we talking about? Are we the 1700s, perhaps?
16.
The late 1600s, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, there was a lot of rivalry then, I guess, between the Catholic Church and the heads of the royalty.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
The royal heads, I guess, would be the correct way to say it.
Yeah.
And, of course, France had a monarchy in those days.
Yeah.
So this was pre-Napoleon, I guess,
before then. Yeah.
So just think of it in those terms, I guess. But that doesn't mean they didn't have their disagreements.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah. What is the cardinal's main beef with the queen? Do we know?
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
What is his disagreement with the queen? Does he want to take her power? Is that
no? I think he only wants to. She in the story, because it's a story. It comes from the book from Alexandre Dumas, and in that story, which is a novel, really. He wants her to be punished because she has a lover, and
another country.
From another country.
Oh, you know. How awful!
So it's basically that's what he wants is get her, and so and I think the ballet shows that very well.
Very well,
and
it all comes down to something like that, doesn't it?
Yep.
Especially in France, you know, they're known for their great lovers, right?
But I hear that it happens everywhere.
A lot of works of fiction. Is it based even loosely on something that actually happened?
No, not really. I think what I read from at the time was that he took little stories that happened, but really they happened to different people. They didn't happen in any order. I think he just created a novel, and and it became a huge. Popular book. So,
and now it is a ballet.
And it is a ballet.
Which will be on the stage of the Kansas City Ballet at the Kauffman Center, opening this Friday, October 9th at 7:30 p.m. Performances continue on Saturday the 10th at 7:30, Sunday afternoon, a matinee at 2 o'clock p.m., and they will do it all again the next weekend as well, Friday the 16th, in the evening, Saturday the 17th in the evening, and Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock p.m. on the 18th, all at the Kauffman Center on the Muriel Kauffman side. There's a lot of people that don't know that there are two sides. There's the Nichols side,
right,
and there's the Marion Kauffman
right.
side. You're on the Marion Kauffman side.
That's right.
The number to call for more information is 816-931-8993 or online at kcballet.org. All of the action, the adventure, the romance
yeah.
of the Three Musketeers
mm-hmm. yep.
going on a performance of the Kansas City Ballet. And remember the quote, all for one and one for all, just like right here at KKFI. I want to thank you so much for being with us. The Court of Louis the 13th. I had that on my yeah. notes. I just didn't yeah. look down
right.
and see it. Thanks so much for being with me to yeah. tell me all about the all it's going. Sounds like a lot of fun. I bet you have a lot of young people come. As
yes.
well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know what they're coming to see?
The sword fight.
The sword fight. Thanks so much for being with us. Devin Carney, the artistic director, and Gilles Maidon, the stager for the Kansas City Ballet Company yeah. of the Three Musketeers. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you,
thanks.
Michael.
Sounds very exciting.
Yep.
Maybe that's the way, Beth, to get more money in here is to have sword play in here.
That's yeah, sword fights.
we could go into Beth and the sharks and all of that.
Oh, Shark Week.
That's right. Thanks so much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is our fall fundraiser. You know, we are in the midst of raising money to help support us here at 90.1 FM KKFI.
And we don't want to have to resort to sword fighting.
Don't resort to violence at all. We're a peaceful organization, most of the time, anyway. And we would be just so pleased if you could call and help us out here. Just think of your favorite program here on KKFI. Think of what it would be like if you didn't have this radio station to tune into every day. Just think of the void that would lead in your life. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to pack up tomorrow. That's not the case. But we do need, you know, to be sustained in the long term. And we have gifts that you can give, donations you can give at various levels for, you know, for special consideration and things like that. Beth mentioned that earlier.
Right. We've got, you know, we have the T-shirt, which is a long sleeve black T-shirt with the KKFI logo on it. So you can go around and you can support your community radio station.
Uh-huh.
And you can get that for the $90 level or more. We have the guest DJ, which is, you know, that could be great for the music lover in your life. And, you know, holidays are coming up. It would make a great gift.
Oh, you know, another great gift. And people have done this, folks. They have bought the guest DJ slot for a friend or loved one.
Absolutely.
And in the past, people who have purchased guest DJ spots, they've gotten more interested in the station. They went through the proper training that we have to have down here. And some of those people have ended up with their own
show. With their own show.
That's right. So it can happen. You can go full circle with that.
You can become a star.
That's right.
And for 200, it's a combo. We're going to throw in the T-shirt. We throw in the guest DJ. And all you have to do is call 888-931-0901, or you can go online at kkfi.org. This year, we do have some additional special gifts. At the $90 level, we've got the pair of tickets to the Hoedown, and that's October 17th. At Knuckleheads, be a lot of great artists going on there. And then it's also, I think, the fun night is going to be the Macabre KC Halloween night at Knuckleheads. And that is from 8:30 until 12:30. And that's, again, at the $90 level. And there'll be a lot of artists there, local artists. We'll also have historical Kansas City readings and then scenes from projected horror and adventure films backed by a 20-piece orchestra.
Yeah.
All in costume.
The orchestra in costume. Now that's, or the band in costume. That's what should be really impressive.
And to me, costume parties are just so much fun because you get to see the inventive ideas that people come up with. And, you know, I saw it one time as a pair of dice. A couple came as a pair of dice. I saw six people walk in order, two by two, and they were actually dressed as beers. So they are a six-pack of beer.
I hope the couple dressed as dice didn't shoot craps. I just hope that didn't happen for them. Sounds like a really good time, though.
Yes. And so at $90, you can pick up your choice of one of the pair there. Or for the $200, it's the combo. You get the guest DJ and then also a pair of tickets to one of the shows.
And you get a chance, perhaps, to meet your favorite KKFI celebrity. Let them know when you call in. We'll make sure that that person, whomever that is there and has to be there to help meet you, because we're a very open organization. We love to meet the people.
Yes, we do. And we love the support that we get. And we thank everyone who's already made their donations, or just thank you in advance for considering making a donation. And then I'll just remind our listeners, too, that we have the sustaining giving, which makes it a little bit easier. What you can do is just, $5, $10 a month to your credit card. And, well, hey, over time, that really adds up.
That
means a lot to the station.
And you don't have to remember to write a check all the time.
That's right. Yeah. And, it makes it go a lot further. It's the satisfaction of, knowing that your contribution is really going further to support these services. And, it shortens the pledge drives.
Sure. Yeah. We do this 3 times a year. We have special fundraising events around town. And we're happy to do those. Those are a lot of fun to do. We meet the public, get their feedback. That's always interesting. Getting feedback is interesting. I'm sure the gentleman from the valet get that as well. The feedback from the public is always interesting for what they think and what they'd like to see happen.
Right. And also, for those of you, who are into environmental sustaining, it's better for that. And as, we've talked about all these special thank you gifts that we have, you're still eligible for the thank you gifts by doing the sustaining giving. Once you've reached that limit of $90 or $150, you've got yourself one of the T-shirts or guest DJ spots.
Yeah.
So 888-931-0901.
I think we've made the case. We've given you some special reasons why you should. But most importantly of all, more than anything else, help support community radio here in Kansas City.
That's right.
We need your support. We love all of you out there. We love your support. I would like to meet more of the people. I'm often surprised by people. They just recognize my voice, and I'm always shocked by that. Same thing, I guess, happens to Beth. You have a very distinctive voice.
Yes, they'll say they recognize it.
So, but hey, we need your support, and I hope we give back to you what you want over the air. I try to have a variety of subjects on and talk to the important movers and shakers, artistically wise, in this town.
And you do a great job.
Thank you very much as well. So remember what Beth said. The number to call is 888-931-0901 to help support community radio, KKFI. Thank you so much. Thank you in advance. Thank you so much for helping out. So we're going to take a brief break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater. They're a close neighbor. They're going to become an even closer neighbor. We're going to hear about that when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM. Yes, thank you, Russ. Russ always keeps us on top of what's going on movie-wise here in the community, and we thank him for doing this each and every week. Russ, as well as everyone else here at the station, tries to bring you the best possible programming we can, and we need your help to do that. So please remember, while we're talking here, we want you to listen, of course, but also remember to call that pledge line at 888-931-0901. And don't forget, we have other art shows other than mine. Of course, we have several. Art Speak Radio, for instance, is on Wednesday at 12 o'clock noon, and Maria Vasquez Boyd will have her guest this week, Whispering Prairie Press, Natasha Ria Elscarre, and Ryan Wilkes will be with her as well this Wednesday on the Arts Magazine show starting at 12 o'clock p.m. right here on KKFI. KKFI covers the arts. We have a lot to cover, and I think we do a pretty good job of it. We kind of divide up the duties and have a lot of fun while we're doing it. Well, welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Karen Paisley from the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater is with us. She has brought, as she called it, some newbies with her to talk about the new show that she'll have coming on soon. And we want to talk about that. We want to talk about her new season. And we want to talk about her new location. She was down at 36th Street. And now you're pretty much right. You're going to be right on the other side of the alley and parking lot.
That's right. There. We could order a pizza and hang out.
That's right. And we probably will at some point. I'll be coming over periodically.
We could do lunch. This would be really fun.
That's right. You're going to be really close. Yep. The Warwick, how long has the Warwick been closed, Karen?
Well, the Warwick, it was built in 1912 as a movie theater. And it's still, I mean, we're under contract with it. We're doing our inspection phase now and then looking to close before Christmas. There's a lot of renovations to be done. So we will still be in our current location probably for the remainder of the season producing and then renovating. And, of course, once you start renovations, anybody who ever renovated anything knows that you never plan your housewarming until you're done.
That's right.
But we're going to be working on it and real excited about that.
Yeah, and so around the first of the year, you'll probably be hearing more about that.
I believe that as soon as you will hear the shouts, you know, from joy and celebration.
And because they're so close, I have a feeling they'll be dropping in.
Oh, they'll drop
often.
And say, hey.
That's right. A little close. Just like City in Motion. I guess City in Motion will be sort of
above you.
They'll
be right next door.
Yeah.
Right. They're Midway neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that will work out really well.
Yeah, well, you have a new season. You have plenty. You want to talk about the rest of this season? Or
we can. Sure. Let me cover that for you real quick.
Yeah.
It's really kind of an expanded season this year. We've always done six major masterworks, contemporary classics, you know, real relevant, dynamic, intimate works. This year, actually, we're looking at nine. We expanded it by 50%. We just did Stones in His Pockets, which is an Irish piece. Now we're working on Vincent in Brixton. Next up is The Night Thoreau Spent in Jail, which I think would be a real big one for the KKFI audience. I think you all love that. Then Emily, which is about actually Voltaire's mistress, who was a brilliant scientist in her own right and one of the first scientists who was a woman in France. And after that piece, Thornton Wilder's Skin of Our Teeth, followed by a new play by this wonderful playwright Meg Morochnik, who wrote this very, very cool play called The Tall Girls about a Midwestern girls basketball team in the Depression era Midwest. Just the neatest, most gorgeous play. And that's followed by Parade, Alfred Uhry and Jason Robert Brown, On a Hot Tin Roof, and then Man of La Mancha. And, of course, my private hope is that we will be in the Warwick for Man of La Mancha, for sure. I mean, that's the one that I just have my heart kind of set on that, and I'll survive it if that doesn't get to happen, but I just have this vision of Bob Brand singing The Impossible Dream there and just a boohoo at the thought. So I just hope that happens. Right now, we're doing Vincent in Brixton by Nicholas Wright about the young Vincent van Gogh. And we were over there working on the set and stuff, so I grabbed two of our cast members, Elise Campagna and Kenneth Wigley, who are newcomers to our theater. And I'm really excited about them and their talent because they are playing two of our roles in the show. And these are their first professional performances in Kansas City, which is part of what is also Met's mission. A lot of people don't realize that part of our actual mission from our founding was to help create the pathway that brought young professionals to the stage and helped them found their careers in our city so that we would continue to have an extremely vibrant artistic ecology and benefit from all this intelligence and all this talent in our city. And I'm just thrilled that we've been able to continue doing that over the years and just exceptionally happy that they're a part of this.
Okay. Either of you been on the radio before?
I was on the radio once.
so I can't say this is your first time.
I don't know how successful.
As your second performance on the radio, introduce yourself. This is your professional, almost debut on the radio.
Hi, my name's Kenneth Wigley, and I'm playing the role of Sam Plowman in Vincent and Brixton.
Okay. And you, Miss?
I am Elise Campagna, and I am playing Anna Finkel. She is Vincent's sister, and she's kind of a spitfire character.
She's a little of a snake in the grass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going well, and then she kind of just
destroys everything.
Throws a whole wrench in the works. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vincent in Brixton is about the young Vincent Van Gogh. He's about 20, 21 when he arrives in Brixton, England. He's actually an art dealer at the time, and not very good at it. But he's been sent by his family to try to get better, so he's working for this company. And then he winds up on one of his walks one Sunday in front of this house in Brixton and decides that he wants to become a lodger there because actually he has fallen in love at first sight with the young lady of the house. The play takes an extremely interesting turn because it ultimately is not the young lady of the house that ultimately begins to be the person that he is in love with. And so it's an extremely interesting play. It won the Olivier Award in 2003. Just so compelling. And Seth Jones is playing Vincent. Seth is a visual artist. If you get on Facebook, actually, those of you who do that, and check out Seth Jones, you can see his art. And that's really cool. And Shelley Weitch, who is a professional actress and is also on the faculty over at Pembroke Hill, is playing Ursula, who is the mother in this family. And then our friend Elise Paling is playing the daughter, Eugenie. So there's lots of love interests, actually. There's like two love stories, and then there's the Spitfire. And Spitfire with a mop. There's a lot of that.
Watch out for the mop.
So you have two Elises in the show. Does that get confusing for you?
It's kind of a new thing. We're going to have, you know.
For us, yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm surprised it hasn't been more of an issue because it's Elise P and Elise
C. Mm-hmm. So like if we took this show on the road or did it anywhere where we would need to communicate over like a walkie-talkie, it would just be a disaster. But it hasn't been.
We've done all right.
Right. We've been doing okay. It hasn't been too much of a confusion.
Yeah, well, see, most people don't know. They know a couple of things about Vincent Van Gogh.
Right.
They know that he was a famous artist, and he cut off his ear for his art, or something like that.
Along those lines, yes.
Along those lines.
Yeah.
But you're telling more of the story.
It's really been interesting. And, of course, some of it is based in actual fact. Yes, it is truth that he was in Brixton. Mm. He was there. He did live in this house. All that's documented. I mean, did these conversations take place exactly as, you know, written in the play? Probably not. You know? But there's a lot of, the play is set in the kitchen. And we were talking about that outside, you know, what we like about that and why the playwright set the play in the kitchen. And what did you think about that, Kenneth?
Yeah, I think that it not only is it a good, from a production standpoint, to sort of just have the one location, but it gives us a very specific view into this world. This kitchen sort of tucked away, you know, towards the back of the house, but that's sort of where all the skeletons in the closet kind of come out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of opportunity for people to be honest, tucked away. And I think that really brings an intimacy to it. A lot of times there's a lot of really good one-on-one moments in this play at the kitchen table.
Mm-hmm. Why did Vincent rent a room in this particular place? Mm-hmm. Was there a motivating reason behind that?
Well, I mean, Vincent was, he's living, he's walking a tremendous amount to go to church.
Right.
And he wanted to be closer, and then of course he sees Eugenie, and that's his. Vincent's very.
He's easily impressed.
Right.
I mean, she's beautiful, but it's also something like instantly he decides I have to marry her or something like this. He falls madly in love with her immediately, which actually historically he tended to do that. That as I was doing some research, he seems to fall in love very passionately, pretty quickly. Usually, it doesn't turn out well for him. But obviously, given the outcome in the long term.
Yes.
But I think that Ken's right, that it's, you know, when you think about kitchen table drama, there's a lot of those kinds of things. And even now we use that whole motif in television. I mean, there's that, what's that television show of Tom Selleck playing the police chief? And he's got all these kids are also in police work. Every show, they wind up at Sunday dinner at the table.
Oh,
and there's always
the buds, I guess. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And so there's this the kitchen table, and this happening there. And of course, it's also historically this would have been one of the warmer rooms in the house. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is like 1874. So it's not a modern era, which has also been interesting for us trying to figure out. So how does one do this?
Right.
Yeah, the cooking. And there's a lot of cooking in this play.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
For the kitchen, there would be. But the kitchen, in this case, is kind of a center gathering point for everyone. Right. I mean, why hang out in a... If you're going to hang out in a certain room in the house, why not the kitchen?
Where's the food?
Where most of the interesting things are going on.
There's food in here. It's warmer. You can relax. I think it's a smart choice.
Everyone tends to stop in.
They do. Well, I know every time I throw a party at my house, it seems like everybody comes there.
Right.
We have all this other room. No, we all have 25 people have to be in
but
here.
But don't you have a special room where people like to come? And in the case of these people, it's the kitchen.
Yeah, it's the kitchen.
Right. Yeah.
But it's a very, very cool piece. And we open, this is our last week of rehearsal, then we do Tech Week. Dress rehearsals next week, and we open a week from Thursday.
Yeah. Starting October 15th is what I have here, running through November the 1st at the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater. Now, is everything else still the same? Karen, for instance, the phone number will still be 816-569-3226?
Yep, that's right.
And the website would be metkc.org.
Yep.
And she'll, for a while now, she'll still be down at 36th and Main.
Drop by.
Until probably the end of the year.
Right.
Think.
Well, if you get online on our website, you can see a photograph of the Warwick, which is beautiful. It's really an extraordinary building. And of course, I love this corner, this whole area. I think it's really kind of amazing, and the whole opportunity of it is really extraordinary. We started in the Crossroads in the Arts Incubator on the third floor of that building. Then we moved to 1824 Walnut, and then I guess 6 years ago moved down the street and have been there ever since. So we kind of quit being nomadic, but it was not a building that we own.
Yeah.
And the goal is to finally move to a point of ownership and be permanent so that we can start serving larger audiences. And, I mean, when I look at that, too, it's also the possibility of what we can do in terms of serving students in this community and teachers and really creating the opportunities to make a meaningful difference in a real big way.
You have a lot of programs, not involved. You have the reading
The Script
program.
In Hand series, right.
Uh-huh. It will often be performed at the library. I assume all that's going to continue.
That's the plan. Yeah. The library is getting one of the folios, the Shakespeare folios. I think there are three in existence in the world, and one of them is coming to Kansas City, this spring at the library. It'll be downtown. And so the Shakespeare Festival is doing a piece, and we're doing some pieces. And so our Script in Hand theme is those. So we're going to be doing, I think there's two comic pieces that are kind of one acts based on Shakespeare pieces. And then we're looking at doing possibly the Kiss Me, Kate. Just sing that of an afternoon.
Which is actually two shows in one.
Yeah, isn't that a blast?
You get to show two shows in one.
That'll be so much fun. And then going to create an original performance that is kind of a collage work that pulls, you might think of it as like the greatest hits. Shakespeare, which they're hearing this for the first time. Going, really? Really? Really?
We're going to be doing this?
Yeah, we're going to do this. This is the plan. And so you'll have monologues, soliloquies, scenes, lots of fun stuff. So actually, if you've got your favorite Shakespeare moment, you should, go to Met's Facebook page, say so, what it is. I would love to see this monologue. I'd love to hear this. This is my favorite line. I think that would be a great, cool way to kind of get involved with that. I would love to have that information.
You heard her say it, folks.
Seriously, not kidding. I would love that.
You go to the Met has a Facebook page, and they should go there and make their comments.
Yeah, make a comment about that. Tell us what you think. I mean, I'm going to obviously be calling on people who are, no pun intended, extremely well-versed, but I'm ching, in Shakespeare. To contribute to this, but the idea is to create something of a dramatic arc that is also an original work, too, that informs us in the modern day.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
The critics talk very well about. You know, Alan Partner was with me last week. He spoke very well about some of the productions you've
had. Well, that's good. So, I'd hate for him to come here and trash us.
No, I didn't do that at all. And we talked about, you know, the significance of the new space and bigger, perhaps bigger shows maybe down the line.
Well, I'm not sure we can do bigger shows than we've done. I mean, some of the things that we've done have been kind of extraordinary in terms of the scale. I think what will be really cool will be also to have more space to do them, and have a facility that also serves our audience better. I mean, let's face it, bathrooms count. Parking counts.
You have to have them.
Those bathrooms, I mean, that was one of the first things we looked at. And we also did a lot of talking with our audiences before we went out and started looking to talk about what are the things audiences value, what they wanted to make sure we continued to do. It was very interesting that they, yes, the plays, and yes, the quality of the plays, and exciting young talent and talented veterans. But also they talked about the lobby and how comfortable it is and the ease, I think the casualness of coming and the sense of welcome. So those are really valuable pieces of information that we got back that were also very meaningful, too, to hear that you feel that way when you come here and you want us to make sure we keep being that we don't grow up and become some hardened, you know, Darth Vader theater. I don't think that'll happen. I mean, I think we enjoy our jelly beans and our cakes and all that stuff. I think we're in no danger of becoming Darth Vader theater.
And your soup nights.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, I was thinking about doing stone soup in the Warwick. I thought, boy, would that be cool. That's all, you know, but it does have a kitchen. It's got all kinds of cool stuff. And it's very exciting. But I liked hearing from our audience about the things that they care about.
Yeah, she said it. She said she means it. So go to the Mets Facebook page and leave Karen your comments.
Write us a note.
That's right. She would love to hear from you, I'm sure, as she plans what she wants to do on down the line. The show coming up, opening later this month, October 15th. That's getting really close for you.
It's coming fast.
Yes.
Yes. We were there working on the floor. You know, these guys came in on their day off. Thank you both so much. No problem. We're building a big wooden floor that looks very much like that period style. And it's a lot of hands. And they came in to help knock that out. Yeah. It says a lot about the caliber of the kind of people you are.
You are, yeah. You're willing to work for your stage presence. That's a good thing.
It's a good team members.
That's right. Yeah. Show starts October the 15th. We'll run through November 1st. Not to confuse anyone, this show is still at your
3614 Main Street. Everything is still the same. You can buy tickets online. You can call the box office. You can walk up. There's always, there's lots of ways to get things done. But we're right down there, and I expect we'll be there for a while. Okay. I mean, we will let you know.
I'm sure she will. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
Telling us all about it. Vincent in Brixton, the time that Vincent Van Gogh spent living in Brixton, and the story, therefore, maybe it'll give you some insight of how he became what he became.
Mm-hmm.
Might be learned from gleaming the show.
Yes.
And seeing it. I want to thank my guest for being with us. Karen Paisley, of course, the artistic director and one of the founders.
Yes.
Actually, the producing artistic director and one of the founders of the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater, a professional director, performer, writer, and award-winning educator. And also, did I get everyone's name here? Kenneth Wigley.
Mm-hmm.
Am I pronouncing it right?
Yes. Yes.
And Elise Campagna?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look forward
dun, dun, dun.
To see, the next
Good
few
names.
Times you come, I'll have your name right by then.
Oh, thank
You'll
you.
You'll be much better known. And they'll be in the Metropolitan Ensemble show, Vincent in Brixton, opening on October 15th. So once again, let's give the details here. If I haven't before, I guess I have before. Here it is. It's on this piece of paper here. With a fun drive going on, I have paper all over the place. MetKC.org. That's one way.
Yes.
To make your arrangements. Or you can still call 816-569-3226 and ask your questions there when you call them.
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming, Karen.
Thank you for inviting us, neighbor, to be.
Yeah, thank
yes,
you.
For having us. A much closer neighbor than they've been. Although they weren't that far.
No, down the street.
You can
walk down.
That's right. Thanks so much for being here.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, and thank you, Young Plains, for being with us as well. We are in the midst of our fall fundraising drive here at KKFI. The number to call for more information is, or to make a pledge, I should say, is 816-931-0901. That's the number to call. And let us know when you call what you like. We're going to copy Karen now. We're going to say, give us an idea of what you like, what you don't like. I know that's kind of risky. Karen's probably thinking that right now. That's kind of risky. But we want to hear from you. We want your pledge. We want your input. And Beth Pike is with us once again. She's really good at this. That's why we had her come in.
Well, thank you for having me in, Michael. I appreciate it. And these shows that you were talking about today, these just sound fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
So it's wonderful that we have a show like yours that will promote these programs that are going.